Welcome to the Superintend Podcast, a production of the Idaho Department of Education. I'm Communications Director Scott Graff. On this episode, the usual host of the podcast is the guest of the podcast. Superintendent Debbie Critchfield is here to talk about two of the many initiatives underway at the department this summer. One is an updating of our state's high school graduation requirements. The other is an Idaho-specific student well-being assessment that'll be piloted in several school districts across the state this fall. Superintendent, welcome, I suppose, to your podcast.
Thank you.
So, for those who don't understand, what are graduation requirements in the state of Idaho?
The state of Idaho sets core requirements that are uniform across the state, meaning regardless of the school that you go to, the district that you're at, I don't care if you graduate with 1,000 kids or 10 other kids, there's an expectation that every student be exposed to or be required to have access to certain classes and have certain foundational pieces of knowledge. For example, we'll have requirements around English or around math, history. And then beyond that, of course, districts then set an additional amount of requirements that take in things that they want their students to know in their own district, electives that would be available. But the main point is that to meet that uniform and thoroughness section of the constitutional mandate around public schools, that the state set those requirements.
On your very long to-do list of things to enhance and improve education, K through 12 public education in the state of Idaho, updating the graduation requirements is now a priority here in year two of your administration. Why is this something that you want to see updated this year?
Believe it or not, I've been thinking and talking about this since 2019. So when I sat on a different seat on the Board of Education, I became very aware of where we were in the state as far as requirements. I talked to a lot of families back then, and frankly, I still had children involved in public schools at the time myself. And I saw how challenging it was for one students to take electives that they were interested in, or that we were forcing students to take classes that didn't align with what they planned to do after high school. And so I raised this discussion with the full Board of Education at the time and said, I think we need to have a really comprehensive review of where we are with our requirements. Are they still valid? Do we still care about these handful of things like we did 10, 15, 20 years ago? Now, for me, I thought, no, not all of them, I think, are as critically as important as maybe others are as we change and adapt. And then something called 2020 came around and we experienced COVID and all of that went to the wayside. And so coming back into this role, I've always had it there on one of the burners. And now we have an opportunity to do it in a collaborative way with the Board of Education and a very public way to involve parents, teachers, students, community members, business owners, etc. We want that diploma to matter. We need it to mean something. We want a student to graduate from high school feeling prepared for whatever it is they choose to do and pursue in their life.
So this process is underway. We're not really even close to the end of it, but I think you have a direction that you would like to see these go based on changes in the educational landscape. If this process plays out the way that you expect it to between here and its conclusion, versus our current set of now 10-year-old graduation requirements, how do you expect the new batch to look different?
For one thing, I'd like to catch up to some of our districts who are already doing versions of this, where you have pathways dependent upon what you think you're going to pursue. So students who have made up their mind in the ninth grade that I'm going to go to college, I want to be a doctor, here's the path, and I'm going to stick with that. There are very prescribed academic classes and courses that students need to take in order for them to be able to go to college and beyond. Many of our students are choosing to go right into the workplace or into the military, to a trade school. Those are not lesser choices. They're just different. But nothing about our system has adapted for them to be able to do something that interests them or aligns with those choices other than a very university, college-bound pathway. So one of the goals that I would have is that students would be able to say, here's the trajectory that I have for myself. Here are the classes that will get me there. the thing that we want to ensure is that we make sure that it's fluid enough that if you decide when you're a junior or a senior, yeah, I thought that I wanted to be an engineer, but I think maybe I want to go be a diesel mechanic. You can do that without having, not like college where you change your major and you have to go back and repeat 4 years. We've got to be flexible and nimble. And I think we've got some really great ways to accomplish that.
So department staff recently traveled the state and sought input from stakeholders in a number of cities across Idaho. You are aware of what that input was. Did anything surprise you? And I think here as we look from this point in the process towards the conclusion, what does the process look like between here and there? So first I'll say, has the input surprised you in any way?
Not surprised me. I think mirrored what I'd heard before. If anything, I think it's just more emphasized and louder now. I hear a lot around senior projects, making those more meaningful. I was on a local school board 20 plus years ago when senior projects became a thing in Idaho, and they still are a good thing, but there's such a variety of how we meet that graduation requirement. And as we bring more work-based focus and technical skills on to the front burners, we've got a great opportunity to really utilize those. Process-wise, there's a statutory process in place. We can go out and get all the public comment and feedback that we need and want to have, which we will, but ultimately it must go through the Board of Education and they say, okay, we're good with this. And then it ends with the legislative up or down. And so our plan is to have something ready to go to present to the legislature in January 26, not 26, 25.
25.
Whatever this next January is, that's the January.
Yeah. It feels like it's like 6 weeks away.
It does.
It is still 2025. Yeah,
2025.
Okay. Very good. Let's pivot. Let's talk about the behavioral assessment that we mentioned in our introduction. This is something that folks are going to start to hear about more and more over the next few weeks. It will be a pilot in certain districts across the state. What is it?
We are offering districts an optional question bank that they can survey their students to gauge where they are with wellness and behavioral health and a lot of the emotional issues that our students are dealing with and that come to school with kids. And we have heard, and there's been a lot of politicizing of many of the surveys that our districts had used before. And frankly, I can understand a lot of the concern because our districts weren't making those surveys up. They were coming from the federal government, or they were maybe coming from another local health entity in a community who wanted the data and information for larger questions and larger subsets of, here's what this looks like, rather than a school saying, actually, these are our kids and there's useful information in here. And some of these questions, well, first of all, we shouldn't be asking. And second of all, were unnecessary for the ultimate goals of schools being able to understand and develop policies around supporting good mental health and healthy minds.
So I'll ask you to explain why this one is different than some of those others that cause concern.
Well, I'm going to use the word Idaho a lot because we have Idahoized, if that's a word, everything about this. We brought in professionals that live and work and send their kids to school in Idaho schools, public schools, charter schools. And then we brought in health professionals to say, you know, what would be the questions that really would help schools the most? We ask schools, what helps you? No. And then, of course, you've got to bring in the people that are experts in how to conduct a survey. Because we can ask a bunch of questions, but if the questions aren't constructed properly or you don't have a large enough sample, it was a big waste of time. And we don't want to waste anybody's time. And we also want our districts to be able to point to the Department of Education and say, here are the people that vetted it. Here are the Idahoans that worked on it. And the strand throughout all of this, and this is one thing that is markedly different from any other surveys we've done before, is the fact that there is a law that says every district must have parental permission for their child to take the survey. That will not change with this. Parents will have access to the survey, to the questions, and there's not thousands of questions. I think there's 30. I mean, and we've got that available, Scott, on our website for people to go look at.
Is this something that districts will have to participate in?
Absolutely not. It's fully optional. And so if you are someone that's out of curiosity, well, I wonder what the questions are, your district may not do it. And there's nothing to incentivize them to do it. There's no money if they do it, and they're not penalized if they don't. It is 100% about them using the data in a local setting. They will customize the survey according to what they're looking for. And we've even established how many students, the percentage that need to participate in order for them to use it in a statistically accurate way. And so we want everyone to take a look at it, but your district may or may not choose to use it.
So bottom line, Superintendent, we're kind of running out of time here. Why is this something that is important to do in our state?
Well, fundamentally, as we look at our main role, which is academic achievement, we measure that all day long. Where are students on the ISAT? How are they performing in middle school on algebra? And, you know, and all of everything in between, science, all of the subjects, we have statewide assessments. Well, we first need to understand, for especially for a group of students who maybe struggle at performing, what are the reasons that keep them from being academically successful? Districts would like to have access to information to know, should we put a lot of time, energy, and resources into suicide prevention, which we want them to, but at what level is this a critical problem? Are there other priorities above that? Are our students dealing with drug addiction? Are they dealing with stress, anxiety, grief, loss? It helps them understand the kind of student that they have, and then they can respond and tailor programs, policies, and resources towards that.
And again, the ages that are being targeted here are what? Middle and high school, correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Anything else you want to add on the assessment?
If your district does decide to go forward with the survey, in addition to seeking out your permission, they will also make the questions available. So this, there's no surprises. This isn't going to just come out of thin air. They will communicate with you that this is happening and when it's happening and all of those things. And I think that's something that makes this very different than anything that's been offered. This is a direct response to helping with some needs at the school, but also respecting where parents are.
Superintendent Debbie Critchfield, thank you again for coming on your own podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I hope I can earn the right to come back.
I have a feeling you will. The Superintend Podcast is produced by the Idaho Department of Education. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. They can also be streamed on YouTube and at the department's website, sde.idaho.gov. That website is also where you can find the well-being assessment discussed in this episode. Just go to sde.idaho.gov, find the search function, and type in the words youth assessment. It'll be the first search result. I'm Scott Graff. Thanks for listening.